Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Sanctuary. I'm your host, Minister Tracy McKelvin. And I'm so glad to be here with you this morning to share with you God's word. I am so thankful today that we're beginning a new series, which is called the Plan of God series. And I'm having a special guest to be on the show with me. And his name is Prophet Paul L. Brantley. And we are going to dive in and we're going to touch the things that you really have questions about this morning or in your life that you have questions about. Concerning what God has planned for you. Because, you know, have you truly thought about the plan that God has for your life and how much of a part that you have in it to bringing it to pass? It's some things that we have to do. It's some things we need to begin now. And it's some things that we need to know that will bring about the results of knowing the plan and writing the vision. Because he wouldn't say those things if life was just supposed to happen or if life was just supposed to be an accident or a happenstance. He wouldn't say that he knew a plan, and he wouldn't tell us to write a vision. So let's enter into a word of prayer before we go into the program, and I introduce my special guest. And so let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you, and we glorify you for this time. We thank you that your word is lifted up, and your train fills our temple on today. We thank you, Father, that our mouths are open for you to fill it, and our hearts are pliable enough for us to receive the word. So we thank you again for this time. We thank you for our listeners. We thank you, God, that we decrease so that you may increase in us at this time and forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'd like to introduce to you all my guest, Prophet Paul Brantley, who's a brother in the Lord to me. He has been a great instrument in my life, even in this walk that I've had on some things that I've even guessed about. And I don't take that lightly at all, because I know he does the will of the Father. So we're going in to talk about the Plan of God series. So let me introduce to you Prophet Paul Brantley. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Minister Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing just wonderful.
Fantastic. Amen. Great day. Great day. Glad to be a part of the broadcast. We are looking forward to this new series, The Plan of God, and it's good to be on Sunday Morning Sanctuary.
Amen, and thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So let's start with talking about the plan of God for our lives. And the scriptures that we're coming from this morning are Jeremiah 29 and 11 and Habakkuk 2 and 22. Again, Jeremiah 29 and 11. And, excuse me, Habakkuk 2 and 2. I'm all fumbled this morning. I'm adding some numbers that don't even belong there. But let's start with Jeremiah 29, which reads, go ahead, Prophet.
I know the plan or the thought that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And that would be the King James Version.
Okay, and the American Standard or English Standard Version says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Okay, let's start there.
Well, I'd like to start there, but let's read just one more. Let's see if we can grab and just see what the NIV says. I think this will help us even more to get an understanding of the word of God. It says in the NIV, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to do you harm, plans to give you hope and a future. And I love the NIV version, because one of the first things that God does as part of his plan is to prosper us.
Yes.
And if we can grab a hold of anything in this season that we're living in and in this time that we're living in, is that we really need some prosperity.
Okay.
You know, we really need some prosperity. And I believe that if we can grab a hold of that, then we could really see the plan of God unfold in our lives. We can really see what it is that God wants for our lives. And I believe that that's the first part of God's plan, is that we prosper.
Yes.
And in order for us to prosper, there has to be a plan in place.
Okay.
So I'd like to believe that if God takes out the time to make a plan, then we need to take out a plan time to make a plan ourselves.
Okay.
So let's kind of see how God develops this plan over time through our lives. And I think this series will really help us to really see how God develops the plan. Because, again, Jeremiah says he knows it, which this word he knows really deals from the perspective that he has already created, invented. He already knows this plan. It's already
done.
Emphatic about it. That's huge. Yes. That's huge to find out that God is emphatic about a plan, not about his own stuff, but about our stuff.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy. That God is so emphatic about our plan that he created for us. And then I always believe that if God is doing a plan, then we, the body of Christ, must create a plan as well.
All right. I want to jump in right there. Is where when he's saying he knows the plan, that he's emphatic, so emphatic about it that that there's no series of unplanned events,
mm-hmm.
and there's no accident.
Absolutely.
But there's an either or.
Right.
Meaning, if you don't understand that the plan is there, you're going in another direction. So those events that will happen, they're still not unplanned. But those events that will happen as you're going in the opposite direction of what the plan is, they're gonna happen,
right?
And they're not gonna be the result really that God wants for you. But it's still in the plan. Is His plan to say, okay, now if you submit this to me, if you give this to me, if we do this my way,
mm-hmm.
then guess what? You'll get the results you're looking for and that I'm looking for.
Right.
But if you go in your own direction, then you're gonna get the results that you're looking for, but it's not necessarily gonna sync up with what I have. And then that's when you hear of, as you said it to me once before, organized chaos.
Absolutely. And I think if we can grab a hold of that, you know, if he says he wants us to prosper, if that's the plan of God,
mm-hmm.
then why are we not prospering?
Okay.
You know, why are we not prospering? So if let's look at, because we're dealing with this plan of God, and when you start looking at things, you really start to see that God really wants us to have not just something, but he wants us to have the very best. So if we talk about the plan of God is that he wants us to prosper. So real quickly, let's throw in another scripture, and it's an unplanned scripture, but let's look at Psalm 118. Let's look at 118 and 19, I believe, is where we want to look at, because this will help us to understand how much he wants us to prosper so that we can start asking for the right things. Psalms 118, and I believe, well, let's look at, let's see, what is that here? Because once we get a hold of this, verse 24, and it says, "This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And then in verse 25, David says it like this. He says, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." And what David makes the request is the same request that God's plan is.
Okay.
God's plan is to prosper us, and David says, "Well, send now prosperity." So if God has this plan for us to prosper, then we need to take our time to write out, how do I prosper? What's my plan to prosper?
Okay.
If it's a house, I need to write out, I'm going to have a house. Free and clear, owe nobody nothing. If it's to have a car, I'm going to have a car. What kind of car? Mercedes S-Class, black-on-black sedan, free and clear, own it free and clear, no payments.
Okay, so the blessings of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
maketh one rich, maketh one prosper.
Right, right, absolutely.
And add no
sorrow
or payments.
Payments, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, that's Paul 101 all day long. Because I believe firmly that the blessing of the Lord is supposed to make us rich and add no sorrow or add no payments. So if we're going to be blessed by God, according to what he says, David said, "You made the day, and not only did you make the day, I want you to send now the prosperity for that day." You know, so if we don't go out and get it because we wrote it out, then how do we expect to get it?
Well,
I wish it happened that way, Tracy. If it happened that way, we would all be blessed. If it just happened, you know, we woke up and, you know, the genie, we rubbed the bottle and it just happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it requires a plan.
Just like the Word of God tells us that we should work while it is day, for when night comes,
mm-hmm.
then no man can work.
Yeah.
And when he's saying work while it is day, he's like operating the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing when he's telling work while it's operating the plan while you can see it.
Absolutely.
Because when night coming, That means when you can't see the flame, you can't see your way, you grow up in that darkness, you're just guessing.
And I think if we get a hold, you know, one of the first principles I'd like to teach on this is that if we decide what it is that we want, because he promised to give us the desires of our heart. So if we desire to see what we want, then we have to get up and we actually have to get a piece of paper and a pad and we have to begin to write. So that will carry us over to Habakkuk. So let's look at Habakkuk, our other scripture this morning. Let's look at Habakkuk 2 and 2, and let's see if we can extract a little bit more from that to correlate with where we are currently. Because, again, the plan of God is so important, but that we have a plan is even as important as the plan of God. So Habakkuk 2 and 2 declared these words. Go ahead, Tracy Minister.
Okay. Habakkuk 2 and 2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, this is a new standard, English Standard Version.
Mm-hmm.
Says, then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on the tablet that the one who reads it may run. And I like the Message Version also. It is awesome. It says, and then God answered, says, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming.
Wow. And then if you look at it in the NIV, the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tables so that the Herod may run with it. For this revelation awaits an appointed time, and it speaks at the end and it will not be false. So he says write down the revelation. So what is the revelation? It's got to be the plan of God. It's got to be the plan of God that we see. You know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, or as he thinketh, so is he. So if I'm seeing this or thinking this, then I need to be writing this, whatever this is, the car, the dream, the house, the marriage, the husband, the children, the business, whatever it is, I need to be taking the time out to be so focused that I'm writing it down.
And you said something so key a couple of days ago when I was conversing with you. You said that our mind changes so much.
Absolutely.
So, in other words, you know, we vacillate so much about things. You know, you can have a good idea today about a certain business that you want to do or something that, I mean, something that you want to purchase or whatever it may be. You have an idea, and the minute either someone says something or someone looks at you a certain way, your mind can change.
Absolutely.
And then you have, either if it's a God plan that you did not put on paper, your emotions set in, and you can allow someone or something to cause you to change course. But when you write it, it's concrete.
Absolutely.
And it's a constant reminder, because when you look back at that plan you wrote, you're like, ooh, dog. And it's gone, and it's like God, like he said, he wants to bring your word, and he wants you to bring, give him his word, so, and bring it back to his remembrance, and it's vice versa. It's a law of reciprocity right there, that you, you see something, you see the plan that God has for your life, and you know it's the plan, you're emphatic about it. When you see it again in concrete, then that's going to waken that spirit in you again to be about the plan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think if we do it, and we have not because we ask not.
Right.
You know, writing it down, I always say this to people when I talk and minister to them, is that once you write it down, you've actually given it legs to move.
Yeah.
You know, because words are seeds, and we can train our mind to actually receive what's in our heart.
Yeah.
We can just train our mind that, and eventually our mind will just start receiving it, and our mind will start working for it, and our mind will start pushing us towards it because we have laid a foundation. This is what I want. I done wrote this down. I wrote down the revelation. I done wrote down the vision. As the Messenger Bible said, I done wrote it down. I done got it written out. He said in block letters, that's big enough so that you can't hide from it. You can't act like you don't know that it exists. And these are the things I believe that God is trying to get the church, the body of Christ, in this season to come alive to. I said this to a friend of mine the other day, and I was telling him that God is literally accelerating his word, and he's causing his word to happen faster and sooner because of what's getting ready to happen in the earth. Because God, you know, the Bible says that the earth is moaning and groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed.
Yeah.
So how can the sons of God be revealed if we don't have no kind of plan on how to do what is the will of God? We have no kind of idea. If you want to own a school, I'm going to own a school. You start doing the research. You start doing the ideal searching. You get what I like what you said the other day. You said, yeah, we got to get a vision board up. And we got to put some things on the vision board, and we got to forever keep it before us so that that vision can actually come to pass.
And that's so funny you said about the vision board, because I was like, I was sitting here studying, and those ministered to me right then. He said, vision boards are not new. They've been around since Habakkuk 2 and 2. So, I mean, not that's just right, it's just the truth. Look at it. He's saying write the vision. Something that you can keep before your face.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying he wants you to make it plain upon the tables. Your tables is your heart,
absolutely,
your mind, your in front of your eye, your eyelids. Keep it ever present before you. Like, getting back to the Message version, I didn't finish reading it, but it says, and then God answered, write this, write what you see,
mm-hmm,
write it out in big block letters, so he will make sure you see that,
mm-hmm,
so that it can be read on the run. He said, you're going to be moving.
Wow.
You're going to be moving while this is going on. You ain't standing still waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be moving.
Wow.
This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. But even with saying wait, he's still not telling us to stand still.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you know, that's powerful, because our problem is that we'll be praying, asking for things, we'll write it down, and then we'll sit at home, and we just expect it just to show up and knock on the door.
Faith without words
is dead.
All right.
So we have to get out and do something. You know, I used to tell people all the time, when you sow seeds, go somewhere looking for somebody to bless you. Because the Bible said, when you give, they shall give back to you good measures, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men heap into your bosom. Well, how do you expect a man to heap to your bosom or give into your life if you don't get out there so man can give into your life?
This is called sleep.
Yeah.
And there's a new saying that goes on, says sleep is for suckers.
Yeah.
So we got to, keep moving.
Absolutely.
We can't become stagnant.
Absolutely.
Because he tells us that, he gives us the feet of the hind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got feet of the hind, you are bounding.
Absolutely.
You are constantly moving.
Absolutely.
Even when the rocks are unsteady, your way is unsteady, you're not sure about where you're going, that hind, which is a deer, is still moving.
And he finds
the way his feet are designed, that he can get through the stony places, the crevices and everything. So that's what our life looks like without God.
My God.
But as we stay in him, follow the plan that he has, seek for the plan, he said, what? He'll make the crooked places straight.
Mm.
He'll make those stony places smooth. So we need to constantly understand that we got to keep moving, but you got to move in faith.
Mm. And I think if let's go back and kind of give them a principle.
Yes.
Let's go back and give them a principle. So if we look again at Jeremiah 29 and 11, if we look at that again, let's give them the first principle that we think, that we believe that a person ought to do. What do you think one of the first things as a principle that you think that people that are listening to us are saying, well, I hear them, so what's one of the principles that I should be applying today?
Seeking to know.
Seeking to know. Yeah.
Seeking to know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, for that scripture, that's Bible. Because the Bible said, if you come to me, if you call upon me, I will hear you, I'll answer you. If you seek me, I shall be found of you. So one thing we know, we've got to first seek to know. So now if I'm going to seek to know, I'm going to have to find out the principles that make these things work. I can't have a cliche. I can't have a you make one step, he make two step cliche. I've got to have a principle that makes it work. So one of the first principles that make prosperity work, we know giving makes it work. But I like the principle that talks about in Matthew when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And then he said, all of these things, what are the things? Prosperity, houses, husbands, wives, cars, businesses, opportunities,
favor.
Favor, all of those things are going to be added to us. So God wants us, Paul says it, better, and I believe it's in Romans. He said, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul. So the first thing Paul was concerned with is your soul's got to be right. So if your soul is right, then everything else gets right.
Okay.
So he said, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So So if my soul ain't prospering, then I can't expect my banking accounts to prosper.
Come on.
So I got to get my soul to prosper. So if we're saying first thing that we need to do is seek the will of God. So if I start searching the scriptures, because Paul says, the Bible says, search the scriptures for in them you think you have eternal life. So I've got to start finding out, what are the things that you want me to have? You know, we're the only generation of people, biblical creatures, that suffer lack.
Okay.
Because everyone else in the Bible follows the plan of God. We're going to deal with that, this, you know, as we go along the series, because Moses followed the plan of God. Noah followed the plan of God. Wrote a plan and followed the plan.
Abraham
followed the plan of God. You can go throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you can find men of character that followed the plan of God, and the plan of God worked, and they prospered.
Yes.
Well, our problem is we have no plan.
Okay.
And one of the greatest things that I heard said one time, that if you have no plan, you plan to fail. So why is the church failing? They have no plan. Why are the saints of God failing? They have no plan. Why are preachers failing? They have no plan. So with the principle that we discovered, first thing we need to do is we need to grab a pencil, grab a piece of paper, and then we need to start to write. Wow, that's hard for me to do, because I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be in my flesh. Well, I mean, prosperity is not just in your spirit. It should be in your flesh as well. Your flesh should prosper. You should enjoy it in this present life versus waiting till we get to glory.
And understand there's cost with that, with writing.
Yeah.
And it's cost because that's the planning process. You got a plan. And it was dropped in my spirit this morning as I was in my devotion time. It says that in the plan of God, in executing the plan of God, you got to understand that there is a cost. Because you got, first of all, this thing is getting ready to be birthed out of you. And with it being birthed out of you, there's going to come some pain.
Absolutely.
And the pain is you're going to have to submit. And right along with the submission, you are going to have to stand.
Yeah.
In the midst of standing. Because like I said, the submission part, we talk about that all the time, that we submit, submit, submit. But do you really submit? That's a real question.
Yeah.
But we got to submit to know. But there's another part, and I'm having a slight brain. But when you birthing, like I say, the part of it is you're going to have to submit. And I'm going to look real quick and see what I said, because I wrote it down.
All right. And while you're looking at that, because while you're talking about that, you have to also understand with this, with Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, and not to harm you." So when you start to look at that process of pain that you'll have to go through in birthing the plan, it's still not to harm you.
No.
It's not to tear you apart. This harm means to tear you apart, to render you useless.
Right.
His job is not to render you useless. He wants to still use you. But this part of not to harm you is to let you know that what you're doing is painful, but yet it's getting ready to burst forth greatness.
Exactly. But, you know, think about this. When you say, when I'm saying the pain, you know, when you begin any new thing, it's a struggle.
Absolutely.
That's a form of pain, because your flesh is not used to doing that. So you're going to have to kind of twist it, manipulate it, and get it to working with your spirit in order to make sure that what you're working hard for is going to come to pass.
Right.
So the submission and separation. Mm-hmm. That was the other word I was looking for. The cost is submission and separation.
Mm-hmm.
Submission of your will to God,
mm-hmm.
and separating for the things that are keeping you out of his will.
Right.
So that's a part of the plan, because, you know, even if you just, that's not that we're not unholy, but let's think about this. If you get up to do something and you like, for instance, you're going to build a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get the material and everything, and you get ready to get started. Okay. The winds of adversity are going to blow. There are going to be days of rain. There may be days of snow. It may be extremely hot.
Mm-hmm.
But you're determined to get this house built.
Yeah.
So what you're going to have to do is say, I got to submit myself to completing this project.
Right.
No matter if it's going to rain. Right. No matter if it's going to be too hot.
Mm-hmm.
The project's got to be finished if I'm going to stay in this house.
That's right.
But not only are you may not be building the house by yourself, you might have some workers that are helping you build a house.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have some that quit.
That's right.
You're going to have some that show up late. You're going to have some that ain't going to even come to work. They're going to call in every time there's a little adversity in their life, they're going to call in.
Yeah.
So, but that's a cost you got to pay.
Yeah.
So either you're going to keep them workers that's not working or you're going to give them a separation notice. But that comes along with the plan.
Absolutely.
So there's let you know that this way is not easy.
Yes.
Because if it was, your house is not going to be built on a firm foundation. Your plan is not going to be on a firm foundation.
Absolutely.
If everything is easy.
Absolutely. You know, and that's powerful because one thing about it, you have to believe it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if the workers don't believe the plan.
Right.
If they don't like the plan of the way you're building your house, it doesn't matter that other folks come by and they don't like how you hang your shingles or they don't like how you build in the platform. It doesn't matter. You have to believe it because for you, for him that believeth, all things are possible. So if you can't believe it enough to write it down, you don't really believe in your vision at all. You don't believe
right.
in the plan. You don't believe in anything. If you don't have just enough belief, enough faith, I'm talking to some people that will listen now, that I have enough faith to believe that I'm going to stop what I'm doing and I'm literally going to write out my plan. And then I'm going to put prayer on it. I'm going to water it with praise. I'm going to put more prayer on it and water it with praise. I'm going to put more prayer on it and water it with praise. I'm going to continue to do this until I see that plan manifest. And I'm telling you, I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you now, those that are listening to me. I'm challenging you that are listening to us. I'm challenging you to take out the time now and write you a plan.
Yeah.
Now, again, when you write a plan, you got to find the right people to share your plan with because everybody don't believe in your plan. So you have to have people like you of like passion, of like faith. And if you can't find people that like passion and like faith, then you'll find our information on this website. You'll find our information somewhere. Contact us, and we'll stand together and agree with you because the Bible says we're two or three are touched together and agreeing on anything. He's in the midst. So he's accelerating this work. So if I'm writing I'm going to be a millionaire, I need to make sure I have some pictures in front of me what $1 million look like.
All right.
I got to have some pictures in front of me what it looks like to be a millionaire, to have a big house. I got to take me go to the neighborhood you want the house in. This is really, they call it crazy faith,
yeah.
But it's faith that works.
Right.
Crazy faith, you know, is faith that works. Faith is just faith. If you're not doing anything, there's no faith in that.
And see, when people think you're crazy when you're talking about your houses and your cars and everything, not that that should be your only focus. Of
Absolutely.
Course not. It's the health of your family and all the other things that come along with it. But he said faith is the substance. So it's something that's attached to that.
Absolutely.
You've got to have something you got to have faith about.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, come on, just because you can walk into a bank, you even got to have faith just to get there to go to the bank.
Absolutely.
So there is a substance attached to it. But even in the 12th verse of Jeremiah 29,
mm-hmm.
It says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Let me make it plain for you. In the message, it says, when you call on me, and when you come and pray to me, I'll listen.
Wow. Wow. And that NIV says, you will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all of your heart.
Okay.
Yeah, with all of that tablet that's on your heart, all
okay.
that you wrote,
all
that
plan.
He says, I'm going to hear that. I'm going to hear it, and then if I go back up to 12 where you were at, it says, then you will call on me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen, God is not sitting back talking about, well, I guess nothing's going to happen. God's like, okay, I'm waiting on them to make something happen. I'm waiting on them to write down the plan. Now, we talked about, when we talk about prosperity, we talk about a lot of physical things, but we talk about your children being saved.
Okay.
You put their name on the paper. So on, Billy Bob will be saved. Jeremy will be saved. John will be saved. Susan will be saved. You got to make that a part of your plan. My husband shall be saved. My family, my grandmama shall be healed of cancer. You have to put this a part of your plan. And then you go to the scriptures in Isaiah where he says, by my stripes you are healed. I was wounded for your transgression. So, again, these are all a part of the plan. You attach the scripture to the plan, and then you start praying the plan and the scripture.
Well, there you have it. So we know what we got to do. We got to seek to know what the plan is, we got to write it down, and we got to pray, water with prayer and praise. That means submit it to God.
Absolutely.
So he'll listen. So these are the beginning steps of us stepping into the plan of God. We want to thank you all for listening this morning. We want you to, as you're headed to your work, meditate on this stuff and understand that God is talking to you. He wants you to know the plan. He wants you to write the vision. And we stand in agreement with this today.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next Sunday. And we're blessed to have you with us on Sunday Sanctuary. You can look us up on Facebook under Reproving Word Ministries. And when you do, you can submit your questions. And the next Sunday, when we come, we'll have the chat room open. And we can probably extend the broadcast as we're going over a little time now. We love you. See you next Sunday.
Amen. God bless.